As summer kind of really starts to usher itself in fully, we will see probably less of each other over the coming weeks, you know, as we come and go from different places. And I just want to reemphasize the thing that Teresa mentioned, that little flyer that's on the back that has some different ways to stay connected this summer, one of which is the Frangs have invited us out to their cottage in Grand Haven on Lake Michigan, July 1st. And we have other things coming later in July and in August. And so just ways to connect. We hope that you'll take advantage of those. If you're around, you'll join us. We would love to just stay in touch over these next few months. All right, so we're in this new little journey through the Psalms. We're not going to, of course, get to all of them. Anybody know how many there are? 150, I heard. Well done. 150 Psalms, yep. So we're not going to get through all of them, but we're going to touch a number over the next 2 months here. And as we begin, I want to invite you to reflect for a moment on how music has shaped your life. Let me just think about that for a moment. How has music shaped your life? You know, I don't know that I've ever met anyone. I'm sure there's somebody out there somewhere, but I've never met anyone who has said, I don't like music. I've heard people say, I don't like country music, and that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. or I don't like classical, or I don't like this, you know. But I've never met anyone who has said, I just don't like music. Some form of music. In fact, I just think back for a moment. What songs have been meaningful to you in your life? If you were to hear them right now, if Nate was to play them, we're not going to make Nate do that, but if we were like called out, you know, a request line and you played your favorite song, what kind of emotions would rise up within you? And where would you be transported to? What memories would be stirred? And you know, the first album I ever bought with my own money, I've said this before here, I'm sure somewhere along the way, was House of Pain. Yeah. I'm not proud of it, but it was my first album. I ordered it through one of those CD companies where you bought like 8 CDs for a penny, you know what I mean, right? And the box came to our house. And if you don't know, like, that album is explicit, has parental advisory on the cover, and so, like, I had to hide it from my mom. The box comes, she's like, what's this? And I was like, no, don't worry about it, it's cool, you know, and I ran up to my bedroom, and but when I hear Jump Around, I am transported back to my high school days, riding in my Cutlass with the speakers cranked, you know, down open country. Okay, we thought we were so cool. We were not, but I was okay, all right. Or before House of Pain days, in my holier moments of life, a song that can transport me is Ray Bolt's "The Anchor Holds." And if you don't know that song exactly, Google it now. You have permission. Watch it later. You will get a glimpse into my childhood. That song stirs up all sorts of things in me. A couple months ago, I went to a concert at Calvin College by The Brilliance. That is a group that has been writing music now for a number of years, and in the last probably 12 months, what they have been writing has been feeding my soul. And to go to that concert, 300 people, intimate, acoustic, was just so meaningful to me, you know. So how has music shaped you? I'm almost certain it has. This is what music does. It's a form that somehow touches us in ways that words alone don't. Yet words can be powerful too. I think about poetry specifically. We don't access poetry probably as much as we access music today, but maybe there's even a poem that you can think about, or a poet, Emily Dickinson, or Maya Angelou, or Shel Silverstein. I remember my kindergarten teacher reading Shel Silverstein, and I don't know that I captured most of what was being read, but I do remember being captivated by the words and the rhythm and the places where it took you. Poetry and music are really remarkable art forms, and when you combine them, you get something that can really be, again, transformative, that can take you to new places, that can open up deep truths, that can reignite imagination. And the Psalms are exactly that kind of art form. They are poetry put to music. Now, we, unfortunately, I'm assuming here, don't sing the Psalms, which is why we are introducing a new song and we'll be singing others along the way that might be new to us, because we want to sing them because we think that's really important. They're meant to be sung. But that's what the Psalms are. They're poetry set to music. And they're meant to change us. Psalm 1, the first psalm, says this in the first three verses. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. People becoming like trees. This is transformation. This is change. This is a picture of somebody whose life has been reshaped and reformed so that now this person bears fruit in every season. But how do we become a tree planted by a riverbank? Well, it's that verse 2. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. So let me ask you, what is God's law? That word law, it carries a lot of connotation, maybe baggage. When you hear law, you probably think like police and penalties and jail, right? It has a lot of consequence attached to it, rules, things like that. And in the Old Testament, the word law is the Hebrew word Torah. Have you heard that word before? Torah? The Torah is the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. If you talk to a Jewish person and you say, what is the Torah? That's what they would say to you. It's the first five books, the Pentateuch. And yes, that's true. That is what the Torah is. But Torah, law, carries a much broader sense in Jewish thought. It's not just rules, guidelines, commandments that God gives. It's anything that God uses to instruct God's people to become who they are called to be. And so Torah, in the mind of a Jewish person, is the first five books of the Old Testament, and it's the poetry of Ecclesiastes, and it's the call of the prophets, and it's the story of Ruth and of Esther. It's all of those things combined into one. And so the Psalms, the song book of the Israel people, is actually, in Jewish thought, an extension of the law. It's one way in which the Jewish people understand and work out their calling as God's people. And I don't think it can be overstated how central to the life of a Jewish person the Psalms were and are. Again, they were Israel's song book. And I want you to imagine if your song book was taken away from you, whatever your Spotify playlists are, you know, if your song book was just plucked away, I think it would hurt. You'd feel it. Because that music somehow changes you and it reshapes you. I think about my grandfather in his final days. He was unconscious, eyes closed, lying in a bed in hospice care. But my aunt told the story of being with him, just sitting by his bedside, and singing an old hymn. She thought for whatever reason she would just sing a hymn that he knew and loved. And this man who had been laying motionless for days started to stir at the singing of this song. And that's because music touches something deep in us. It shapes us. It molds who we are. And that was absolutely true for Israel and this collection of songs that we call the Psalms. And Psalm 1 tells us that when we meditate on Torah, we are changed. We become like trees. Our whole being is transformed. In fact, listen to the way that the psalmist says it in Psalm 19. The instructions of the Lord are perfect. The Torah of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, again, Torah, making wise the simple. The commandments, Torah, of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them. Look at the way the soul and the mind and the heart are changed as people encounter and integrate Torah, God's instruction, God's guidance, God's way of life. I've been wondering this week about how the Psalms played a role in Jesus' life. Have you ever thought about this? I hadn't. But I came across some information that got me thinking. And the piece of information was this. Do you know what book, you're going to guess it, from the Old Testament Jesus quoted more than any other? Yes, you're so smart. The Psalms. I didn't know that. More than Isaiah. More than Exodus, more than Deuteronomy, 11 times he quotes this ancient collection of music and poetry, which makes it safe to say, I think, that this ancient songbook was Jesus' songbook. It was his Spotify. It was music and poetry that shaped his life. In fact, I don't think it's a stretch to say that Jesus and Paul and the disciples would have had the Psalms memorized backward and frontward. You say, that's crazy. Oh, I doubt it. Do you know 150 songs? Yeah, easily. This would not be hard. This is what they sang their entire lives. This was the music that shaped every part of their development. It was there at every step, sung in all kinds of places and ways. And they would have known it inside and out. It leads N.T. Wright to say this. He writes a book, Case for the Psalms. What Jesus believed and understood about his own identity and vocation. Think about that. How Jesus understood himself. What Paul came to believe and understand about Jesus' unique achievement. They believed and understood those things within a psalm-shaped world. The same shaping, remarkably, is open to us today. He's saying that Jesus understood who he was because of this music that shaped Israel, that shaped the life of any Jew, and that same shaping is open to us today. So let me ask a couple of questions. What if this ancient songbook became your songbook? What if we sat with this collection of honest, sometimes perplexing poetry and let it work its way deeper and deeper into us? What might happen? If Jesus was shaped by the Psalms, might we be shaped by them? If they helped him understand who he was, might they help us understand who we are? So what we're going to do in the coming months here is try and do some things that might let these songs work their way into us so that we might be shaped into the people that God invites us to be. And we're doing this in a number of ways. We practice a psalm with Teresa, and some kids were mostly not engaged in that, but you know, we'll keep trying things like practicing the psalms and living them out in really practical ways together. We're going to read them, we're going to speak them, we're going to sing them. Going to do a number of things to try and get them into our mind and heart. So one of them would be, of course, to read. And here's just a very simple thing that we'll pass out every week. Kids, you can do this too. This is not like an adult-only thing. This is just a suggested way to engage the Psalms this week. Next week, we'll pass out something identical to this. Here, one more. You each can have one. Maybe you each want your own. I skipped a row. That's not good. There you go. To just pick a psalm a day. These are some suggestions. They connect to what we've been reading and thinking about today, but you could read any of them. You could start in Psalm 1 and just, you could make your way pretty far through over these next couple of months. But to invite you to make a discipline to maybe re-engage these old texts and see what happens over the course of 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then come here and sing them together, or maybe find them on Spotify. Lots of artists are rewriting psalms and putting them to music. Maybe make that your playlist. Talk about them together. We'll practice them together. We're going to try and get these things into us a little bit more and see how they might shape us. Today, we're going to keep reading and singing, and it's actually how we'll close here this morning, is we're going to read and sing. We've already done this once, and we're going to just do it again. We're going to read Psalm 100, and then we're going to sing it together. It's that catchy little deal that Nate and Andy and Judy helped us kind of get a sense of. So let me read Psalm 100, and we're going to sing it. We're going to practice communion, which is, I'm going to suggest to you, a practicing of the psalm, of these words of Psalm 100. Then we're going to, guess what? Read it and sing it again. And maybe as we walk out of here, that song will be stuck in our head a little bit. Or the words, some words from Psalm 100 will kind of root themselves in our heart and we'll carry them with us into the week. So let's stand. Let's stand, because this song, I don't think it's a song that can be sung sitting. It's very hard, very hard. So listen again to Psalm 100. They'll lead us through more of the song, and then we'll take communion together. So Psalm 100 says this, shout. That's the way it begins. So you can't like whisper this stuff. You know, you can't mumble it. The call of the psalmist is to shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before God with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we are his. You belong to God. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter God's gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and God's love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.